Hi, this is Gil Scott here, an unknown bluesologist, speaking to you on Free Speech Radio, WBAI 99.5 on your radio dial. Stay here.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York, where the time is just about 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night, which means, once again, it's time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. I couldn't get much worse, but if they could, they would. Some daily bombs was a big effect to worse. I hope that's understood. Some daily bombs.
Off the Hook. Good evening, Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Tuesday, right?
Yeah, it's the Tuesday.
Tuesday at 8. Thanks. It's,
We've got new guards. Isn't that cool?
We've got new what?
New guards on the mics.
New guards on the mics?
Yeah, yours is now green, mine's now red. And...
Don't say new guards around here, because people are really edgy.
Oh, sorry.
But yeah, you know how to mention it. The windscreen on the mic is, yeah, mine's nice and green. Look at that.
It's really on there, too.
Right? Yeah. Very nice, very nice. Well, I'm tired. You're tired, too.
I'm tired, too. I got all of 15 minutes sleep last night.
I don't think I got that much. I really don't.
What's your reason?
Well, I don't know if I really want to go into it, to be honest. I don't like going into my personal...
Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, come to think of it, it might be kind of interesting, I suppose. All right, let me think about this. How do I say this without getting people into too much trouble, mainly me? All right. Well, basically, last night was a night like any other, right? You know, I like to walk around at night in my neighborhood,
yeah,
doing various things.
It's a nice neighborhood.
Yeah, it is.
Nice night out.
It's a nice night, nice neighborhood, except for the thunderstorm we had earlier.
Yeah,
that passed, so I was walking around. And I was basically just, you know, minding my own business. I was standing on this curb, looking into someone's window with my binoculars.
What? You're walking around and looking into people's...
No, I wasn't walking around. At that point, I was standing. I was standing on the curb looking at someone's window with binoculars.
Yeah, because the walking would interrupt the field of view, I suppose.
Oh, yeah, obviously. What's your point?
The question remains, why exactly were you standing there with binoculars?
All right, fine. I guess I got to explain that, too.
Okay,
then.
That might be...
Well, you can learn an awful lot about the people in your neighborhood by, sure, looking in their windows, and you can see better with binoculars.
Okay.
All right?
All right.
Any other part of that you're not clear on?
Not at all.
All right.
I'll leave it at that, then.
Fine.
You better hope they're not listening.
Well, I don't... At this point, it doesn't really matter anymore. So, yeah, no, I was standing there, you know, looking in with my binoculars, and, I mean, come on, don't tell me you don't do the same thing. Everybody does that.
I have a telescope,
please,
but it just gets pointed up. I mean, that's a...
Well, you kind of need, like, the binocular type thing, you know, two eyes.
Oh, you want the depth perception involved,
yeah,
in your...
because, you know... Anyway, so the point is, you know, I was just standing there on the curb, and the curb is, you know, the curb is not part of the property, so you can't accuse me of trespassing either. I'm standing on the curb is town property.
Right.
Right? Okay. So I was standing there looking in, you know, just... You know, learning.
Well, some people like to claim half the street as their personal property.
Well, they can claim whatever they want, but the fact of the matter is the curb is town property. You can stand on the curb and nobody can do anything about it.
Okay.
All right? It just seems to me like everything I do always revolves around technology, the illusion of privacy, and ignorance. Everything seems to always come down to that, you know? And this is no exception. So I'm standing there using my high-powered binoculars, right? Looking into this, you know, it wasn't really that interesting either. Well, all of a sudden, I don't know, somebody must have seen me somehow, I don't know how, but there was all of a sudden shouting and commotion, and the door opens, right? And this little thing comes darting out, right? Now, this is one of those little tiny yapping dogs, you know, like the kind that you hate, the kind that just yap all the time.
Like the one that Taco Bell has?
No, not a Chihuahua, like one of those, like, you know, furry things. You know,
white ones.
Not a poodle, because poodles are intelligent. That's the ones that people carry in their pocketbooks, you know, those kind of dogs.
Okay.
Yapping, going crazy, right, raising a whole big hullabaloo, like it was, you know, the crime of the century or something like that. So I have to run down the street now with this stupid, like, you know, like, ball of fur chasing me, making all this noise. And I'm running and running and running and running, you know, and this, you know, I'm able to outrun the thing because he doesn't have very big feet.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's got four of them, while you only have two, but it really isn't an advantage.
This is not what I want to be doing with my Monday night.
Understood.
You know, I just figured I'd take a little walk, take in some sights, and go home. But instead, I'm running around like you know, Jack the Ripper through the neighborhood, feeling like a criminal, I might add.
It's a reasonable thing to feel.
And so, finally, you know, I'm running around the neighborhood for maybe about 10 or 15 minutes, all out of breath, right? I got this stupid, like dog or whatever it is, which I'm getting away from. I'm succeeding in getting away from the dog, but I'm out of breath.
It's not giving up, though, right?
It's not giving up. I can still hear it yapping, but it's yapping in the distance.
Okay. Well,
but the thing is, you know, I'm out of breath. I can't stop because the stupid thing is going to catch up to me, and I, you know, I don't want to deal with that. So, thank God, I see a door that's open, right, to a house. So I just...
That's not yours.
But. Well, no. Okay. But the door was open, so I ran right in because I needed to get away from the dog. All right?
Yeah.
I hope you don't have a problem with that, too. I mean, come on. This is I didn't plan on having my.
You really felt your life was in danger.
No, my life wasn't in danger, but I was out of breath and I really needed to sit down. And the binoculars are heavy, you know. And I didn't want to drop them. And the stupid dog is chasing me somewhere in the neighborhood. So I just run into the house and collapse on the floor, panting, all out of breath because I'm out of shape. You know, I really am.
You should do something about that.
Well, I should do this more, I guess, because that'll get me more in shape. So, you know, I'm sitting there on the floor thanking God that I found this place that I could, you know, I could finally, you know, rest and be safe. Until I realized that I'd run right into the house that belonged to the damn dog.
That's not a very good idea.
Well, it wasn't my idea. It just happened to be the house. So there I am sitting in the house, right? Now, here's the real kicker. Turns out the dog doesn't come back. The dog's running around the neighborhood somewhere. No one knows where the dog is. They're all upset at me for the dog being missing, right? They want to take my binoculars. They want to hold me responsible for the dog running away, and they want me to say I'm sorry.
I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous? They want me to say I'm sorry for causing that kind of, I mean, insane.
Absolutely.
Right. So I totally understand. I totally understand why it's impossible for the United States to say they're sorry for China. You know, to China for what they did. I mean, you know, landing a plane on a foreign nation after spying on them and stuff like that. It's wrong. You can't say you're sorry for that, right? Why are you looking at me like that?
I knew where this was going.
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did.
You did not.
Why do you think I mentioned the fact that some people claim half of the street is their own personal property as well?
Well, like I said, people can claim all kinds of things.
That's true.
But the point of the matter is that, yes, emulate your country and just, you know, take it as literally as you can, and you'll see where you wind up.
Why didn't the people draw the shades?
Exactly. China should have enveloped itself in some kind of protective shield to prevent us from looking at them. The whole thing is so absurd, you know. In order to get out of that situation, obviously you'd say you were sorry so you could get out of there, not have to deal with legal papers and things like that. Right? Would you not say you're sorry after behaving in that kind of a manner, Isaac?
You were standing in international waters.
I was standing on the curb.
Street.
I was standing on the curb. I lost their dog. Their dog is gone.
You didn't lose their dog.
Their dog
they opened
was
the door and let the dog out.
That's right. The dog was chasing me. The dog was chasing me.
They were the ones who instigated the dog running after you.
Oh, okay, fine.
If they didn't open the door, the dog wouldn't have been
running
around.
But I did run into their house.
Well, that was pretty stupid of you.
But it was the only house
there. I think you should have fell down in the street and, like, you know, had all the...
But then I would have, you know, I might not have survived.
Well, that's...
I had to land someplace, so I landed in their house. But now they want to hold my binoculars and make me say I'm sorry for the dog being missing.
Well, not that.
How can I do something like that, Isaac? How can I possibly say I'm sorry? I mean, that's just like...
I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
If you don't want people looking at you, don't do silly things.
Okay, now, you can draw a shade.
Yeah.
Although, if you have, different kinds of technology that can penetrate through walls and windows and things
infrared,
like that.
Infrared. Now you have infrared.
Yeah, I've seen the movies. You know, you have that kind of thing.
Night vision goggles.
So, all right, so you have that, and, you know, you have no defense. Just like China has no defense against us peering in at them. And I think they might look at it the same way as somebody looking in your window. It's an invasion of privacy.
What about your neighbors who, like, come over and look in your windows and, you know, give you cookies and stuff and drop off pies and things like that?
They don't do that.
It would be just as much their choice to walk around the neighborhood.
Well, here's the thing, all right? Since the United States will not apologize to China, you know, and the situation's threatening to drag on for a long, long time, I'd like to be able to help out in a particular way. If that analogy didn't help out, then I'd like to help out in this particular way by offering my own personal apologies to China. I happen to know that the Chinese embassy listens to this show. In fact, we're on the list of things to do while in New York City that the UN hands out to the General Assembly. No, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding.
Listen to Off the Hook.
Yeah. Every Tuesday night at 8
o'clock.
You guys
arguing.
WBAI. And, by offering my personal apologies for the United... In fact, let me go a little bit further than that, all right? As long as I've got the UN listening, I'd like to apologize for all the pig-headed, bone-headed things that our country does to the rest of the world, for the pollution that we spread everywhere, for the invasions, for bombing countries, for trying to spread democracy like it's some kind of religion, for, you know, just for all the nastiness, for the TV programs, you know, for the mass culture, for the McDonald's, for doing so many nasty things to the world. I'm sorry. I really am.
It's going to take you a long time to apologize, probably.
We only have an hour, I know, and maybe we can make this part of a series. But
you're sorry for consuming Chinese goods and basically supporting their economy. You're sorry for them having incompetent pilots who slam into, or rather in this case, incompetent dogs who can't manage to find their way home.
Did you just call their pilots dogs?
No,
I think you'll be apologizing next, Isaac.
I jumped between reality and your...
Yeah, you're jumping between reality and fantasy metaphor. Quite a bit. I've noticed that, but...
but the incompetence is definitely there. Either that or the fact that the guy was a real hot rod.
Here's what's incompetent. Having 24 spies landing in a country that they're spying in. That's
I think that was a very foolish move on their part.
Here's the thing I also don't understand. Now, first of all, they're spies, right? Spying is considered, you know, not a friendly thing to do. So, obviously, they're not going to be...
Nor is taking hostages.
Well, okay, fine. But, you know, you generally have to go someplace to take hostages. Hostages don't come into your house. That's not how it works. If you walk into somebody's house, it's not likely that you'll be called a hostage if the person doesn't let you leave.
No, instead you're probably a prisoner of war. Except
You're being held for questioning.
You're being held for questioning.
Yes.
Some would consider that kidnapping.
No, you went there.
I would consider it...
They're the ones who landed there in the first place.
Well, what possible reason can the Chinese give for holding on to these people?
I guess they're very curious, as were the people that went there. I mean, 24 spies, that's a lot of spies. You know, that's a lot of spying going on.
EP3, you got a lot of stations to man.
Well, I think it's time we
stop referring to them as the crew and start referring to them as the hostages that they are. They're being held, and the Chinese are waiting for something. I don't know what they're looking for.
Fine. Then let's take our cue from the Reagan administration, which bought guns for hostages in Lebanon, various other places, and you know, did the whole Iran-Contra business, all right?
They dealt with
their hostages by paying money. And when it's traditional, when someone is taken hostage or kidnapped, you generally come up with something to please the kidnapper so your hostages don't get, snuffed or whatever.
In this case,
all you have to do is say you're sorry. Are you saying you can't say you're sorry?
No, instead, in this case, we wound up selling them the guns beforehand for the past 8 years, and now we have to have the hostages sitting there.
All you have to do is say we're sorry, and it's all over. We're so stubborn.
At fault. What are we at fault
Then you can
for?
Say, after they come back, that you feel this way. You can add that to the sentence. I'm sorry that you feel this way.
You're sitting in your car in the city of New York.
Mm-hmm.
A bicyclist runs a red light as you're going across an avenue, slams into your car, gets himself, seriously injured. He's in traction, and he demands an apology from you.
If it makes him feel better, I'll apologize, sure.
For going about your business.
Here's a better example. I got pulled over by a cop once, right, for running a stop sign. I knew I did not run that stop sign. But the cop said, if I just admitted to it, he'd let me go. Now, what do you think I did?
But you didn't do it.
I didn't do it. But do you think I wanted to get a ticket just because I was going to be stubborn? Or could I just say I did it and then get away with not, getting a ticket? And what difference does it make?
I find that lack of principle to be shameful.
It was shameful that I was being asked to do something like that. I think it was just some sort of stupid game this guy played. But I
would have said, no, sir, I did not run that stop sign, and I will see you in court if you
want. I was in a hurry. I wanted to get out of the situation.
Okay.
I didn't feel like going to court.
So that's the compromise you made. You took the truth, curled it up into a little ball, threw it in the wastebasket across the room in order to go about your business.
Can you do that? Crumple the truth into a little ball?
Evidently, you can.
Sometimes.
It's very easy.
Sometimes.
We're going to apologize for things that aren't our fault. We're going to do...
If you stand on principle for every single encounter that you have throughout life, you're going to take an awfully long time to get through those encounters, you know? Sometimes you just have to say, whatever. Makes you happy.
So we lie for expediency, and we cater
sometimes,
to the
sometimes
common
it's
denominator.
Sometimes it's the easiest way out of a situation, but I don't know. Maybe you got a point. Maybe we should debate all of this forever. And the 24 people are being taken care of very well.
Well, that's good.
Who's paying for their accommodations?
They're not going
Here's
home.
The they have they're being put up in military headquarters or a general.
They're being put up in bachelor's office, the equivalent of bachelor officer quarters, which are actually very nice.
Which is on a military installation.
Yeah.
They have 24 spies on a military installation. I mean, come on,
not going anywhere.
If these guys are any good, they've already learned quite a bit.
About what?
Here's my other question. Now I want to move on because we really have other things we got to talk about. My other question about this whole escapade. Now, when's the last time something like that happened here? When's the last time a plane from another country that was spying on us landed on our shores?
Couldn't tell you. I know the last time one of our vessels wound up getting in a heck of a lot of trouble. You had the USS Pueblo, you had the Liberty that was bombed by the Israelis, you had a whole load of interesting things.
You know what?
You don't have it?
There's no record of any ship or airplane of another nation landing on our shores after spying on us.
I guess that's just because our pilots don't manage to fly into the Blackjacks as they're cruising over Alaska.
Well, what it is our many of our enemies, I don't know why they're not my enemy, but anyway, don't have bases all around the world right next to the countries they're against. It's not clear to me how the U.S. got bases right near China. China doesn't have any bases.
We reserved
right
them.
Off the coast.
We reserved them before anybody else did.
Apparently so.
It's just like getting a domain name.
You plant the flag. But one last point about your admission without guilt, fiasco. The fact that you admitted to that officer, sure, I ran the stop sign, means that he could have just turned around and wrote you a ticket.
No, written is the actual proper word.
He could have written. Yeah, have written. Sorry.
Yeah.
Have written you a ticket.
Grammar's the first thing to go.
I know. At which point, as soon as you get
back... No, look, I admit it was a wrong thing. Just like when I got the cops in North Carolina, I let them search my car. I didn't want to let them do that. But if I didn't let them do that, they would have found something in my car, made my life miserable. And I just had to make a decision at that point. You know, is it worth the hassle? Is this principled stand that I'm taking worth the hassle?
So you'd prefer to take the moving violation for a crime you didn't commit and, you know...
Well, I'd rather be around
anyway.
To tell people about it, you know, and you know, explain what kinds of things really happen. It's not like I'm pretending it happened. It's not like I'm pretending that I actually did it. You know, I know I didn't do it, and I'm telling people I didn't do it. I'm telling people that this guy lied and made me, you know,
well,
say something I didn't say.
That's great,
except
that legally, you're reinforcing his position. For instance, if we were to apologize for this collision over international waters, China claims that this particular area, this exclusive economic zone, is something that they have right to traffic so far as what craft enter and leave under different flags, which is generally not the case under the present treaty obligation.
Whatever. Why can't we be sorry for a collision over international waters?
We're sorry, but if we apologize, we're reinforcing their position that it's their territory. So the next time this happens, they have precedent.
You see, I'm not getting that out of what they're asking. I'm not getting that we have to admit that it's their territory. I'm getting that they just want us to say we're sorry for making the guy plummet to his death. I think that's all they
really
want.
We didn't make him plummet to his death.
Well, we did because we collided. You know, whether or not we started the collision, we did collide.
Okay.
If we weren't there, he wouldn't have plummeted to his death, right? So
you've got the Titanic, and you've got a little Zodiac boat. When the little Zodiac boat slams into the side of the Titanic, does the Titanic apologize for the little Zodiac boat,
which
is far more maneuverable to get out of the way?
It's not a question of fault. It's a question of the incident happened, and then you should be sorry the incident happened. You know?
Apology has nothing to do with fault? Why don't they apologize to us? I'm curious.
I don't know. Maybe because we didn't lose anybody.
You know... We're sorry, our guy slammed into your aircraft, caused you a lot of damage, and now you have to deal with the fact that we've held these people for 2 or 3 weeks without reason.
But the point is, when you have people spying on your country, you tend to be a little defensive. And I think we'd be defensive, too. Now, if a Iraqi-like plane landed at MacArthur Airport in Long Island because they were intercepted by the Coast Guard or something like that, you know, I don't think we'd be all, like, happy and pleased that they were there and send them on their way. I think we'd probably, like, interrogate them quite a bit, look at their plane, and hold them for a while.
Well, there's a lot of questions as to whether...
Of course, I have nothing to point to because it's never happened, because no one ever seems to do that to us. We seem to do it to everybody else in the world, and we expect to get away with it. I think maybe the rest of the world is just getting a little fed up with it.
We are not spied on. I think that's a ridiculous notion.
Who's flying above us right now spying on us?
Let's see. The Russians, we've got numerous commercial interests like Iconos.
So you're telling me there are Russian planes?
Imagery
there's
all over the
there's
place.
Russian planes around New York looking down at us right
not
now.
Not New York, but the Blackjack bombers have been flying around Alaska recently. They started their flights
Alaska?
A few weeks
there's
ago.
Nothing in Alaska.
Except Russia because they're right next door. Come on. We're not right next door to China.
No, instead they've got satellite platforms taking imagery.
Who doesn't have satellite platforms? That's not the same thing. You can't shoot down a satellite. At least not yet. I know, they're working on it. All right, I'd like to continue this discussion, but we really should move on because we have a show to do.
Yes, yes.
So you don't think I should have apologized for losing the dog?
It wasn't your fault that the dog was lost.
Fine. And it was okay for me to run
it.
Here's
a better one. Did the dog bite you? Are you going to apologize for the dog biting you and then bleeding all over their floor?
They say I kicked the dog.
They say you kicked the dog.
Yeah.
Did you kick the dog?
I'm not going to comment anything.
No, you didn't kick the dog, but you... All right, never mind. I will withhold the
international
rest of my
law.
Audience.
International law will back me up on this. All right. You want to talk about frustration?
Okay.
All right. That's the first step to frustration.
Yes.
Here's a scenario, right? I was in need of computer parts.
Okay.
I needed computer parts. Very important that I get these computer parts. And, well, name a computer store that I might go to.
You're out on CompUSA.
Yeah, CompUSA.
On 111.
Yeah. Yeah, great. So I wanted to go to CompUSA to get this computer part. And it was...
what was it, incidentally?
That study, doesn't really matter.
Card or
that's not
a drive or something?
It's not germane to the story.
Well, if it's a missile control box or something,
the
I
point
imagine
is,
CompUSA won't carry it.
The point is, it was 8 o'clock at night on a Saturday.
Okay.
Is this a story or a metaphor?
No, this is a real story.
This is a real story.
This won't turn into a metaphor, I promise. So I was, I wanted to know, should I drive all the way over there? And, is this store going to be open?
Okay.
Let's reenact what I went through. Okay, there's the dial tone. Not quite the same dial tone I would get, but that's the dial tone.
The same.
So we'll save time calling information. And just simply dial 1-800-COMP-USA. Let's see what happens. Remember, I want to find out if this store is open.
Okay. The hours of the store.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Maybe the phone number for the store.
Thank you for calling CompUSA. If you have a touchtone phone, please press 1 now.
Look, I have a touchtone phone.
If not, please stay on the line.
Okay, I'm going to hit 1.
Oh, you got one of the newfangled touchtone.
Please listen carefully. The following menu has changed. For the address of the store nearest you, press 1 now.
That's what I want.
Using the buttons on your touchtone phone,
mm-hmm.
please enter your 5-digit zip code now.
Okay, I can do that.
The number you have entered is
11953.
If this is correct, press 1 now. If this is not correct, press 2 now.
I love the way his voice resounds.
Why did they use a different voice for the numbers?
He sounds like a preacher on TV or something.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
A CompUSA store located near you is...
CompUSA Hopog, 526 Route 111,
yeah.
Smithtown, New York.
To repeat this location, press 1 now. To hear another location near you, press 2 now. To end this call, press 3 now.
Did you hear hours? Did you hear a phone number?
I did not hear hours or a phone number.
What do I do?
Try pressing 1.
Thank you for calling CompUSA.
That wasn't very successful.
No, it wasn't very successful, Isaac, at all.
Did you try calling local information?
Local information? I've got the number right here. I'm calling CompUSA.
Now, they used to have something where you would
give you this
be
number.
Connected to the store itself, and you can call them.
Yeah, they used to have that. You know what else they used to have? They used to have a thing where when you called it, you could hit 0 to get an operator. Let's try that next time, because that's always the way out when you...
It's a panic button.
Yeah, exactly. I just want to find out when the damn store is open, you know?
Thank you for calling CompUSA. If you have a touch-tone phone...
Yeah.
That is kind of inspiring.
Please listen carefully. The following menu has changed.
Okay, I'm just going to skip this and hit 0 for the operator, right?
Please listen carefully. The following menu has changed. Please listen carefully.
This is the operator menu now?
Please listen carefully.
No, it's just repeating the same menu. It's not transferring me to an operator.
The store nearest you, press 1 now. To obtain information on pricing and availability of products, or to place an order, press 2 now.
This doesn't sound like an operator.
To locate a training facility in your area, press 3 now. To locate a technical service facility in your area, press 4 now. For customer service or rebate requests, press 5 now. For Y2K issues and concerns, press 6 now.
I guess the menu hasn't changed.
To repeat these choices, press 7 now.
Well, I guess customer service is the only thing I can
do.
All right, let's go for that.
If you're calling about your extended warranty or tap plan through CompUSA, or if you need service on your computer, please press 1 now. If you're calling to check the status of an order, to place an order, to return ordered product, have billing questions, or would like to speak to a customer service representative in our national sales department, please press 2 now. If you're calling concerning your rebate, please press 3 now. If you're calling for customer satisfaction, please press 4 now.
I want customer satisfaction, man.
What's the difference between customer satisfaction and customer service? I'm going to try for customer service. All right. That sounds good. That sounds promising.
That's good.
The CompUSA Sales and Support Center is closed.
please call back during regular business hours from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. Thank you for calling CompUSA.
It's well before 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. We have the one final option that always works. All right? You know what that is, right? What's the first thing they ask us to do?
You have a rotary phone.
Exactly.
Ah.
Thank God for that. So your phone's a touch-tone hell. But if you don't have a touch-tone phone, you don't have to worry about this kind of thing because you get transferred to a human being. And you could find out information you need.
Thank you for calling CompUSA.
Well,
if you have
welcome.
A touch-tone phone, please press 1 now.
Mm-mm.
If not, please stay on the line.
I'll just stay on the line. Soon we'll be talking to an operator.
I hope so.
I guess they're demonstrating with touchdown sunlight. Oh, please. I'm sorry. Sorry.
If you are calling about your extended warranty or TAP plan through CompUSA, or if you need service on your computer, please call toll-free 877-520-8324. If you are calling to check the status of an order, to place an order, to return ordered product, have billing questions, or would like to speak to a customer service representative in our national sales department,
okay,
please call toll-free 800-834-7328.
So basically they give you a whole bunch of new phone numbers
now. If you are calling
now.
Concerning your rebate,
I have
please press 1 now.
Now closed.
If you are calling for customer satisfaction.
All right. Well, obviously,
yeah, I'm not a satisfied
there's no
customer,
customer satisfaction. I remember when that system used to tell you all the information you needed to
that
know.
That was really nice because it used to tell you the name of the store. To connect to the store, press 1. You connect to
do
the store.
Do you have any idea how frustrating it is trying to find out how long a store is open till and they won't tell you?
That's ridiculous.
And you hit 0 and you get a recording and it's horrible. I mean, this is typical of what's happening to various services. You know, you don't get operators anymore because they've all been fired. You just get computers and they don't tell you what you need to know. It's horrible.
Had a demeaning experience today. In order to register for courses, they have this touch-tone phone system.
This is at Columbia?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you call it up and the first several times it's busy, but mm-hmm. eventually you get through. And then you are made to wait on hold to talk to the machine.
Wait on hold to talk to a machine?
Yeah.
You don't have that number on you, do you?
No, sorry.
I'd like to try that out.
Probably free now, but...
Oh, boy. All right, let's take a look at some news. We'll take some phone calls, 212-209-2900. That's so fresh. I went to Staples.
They had it?
Well, it's not the point, but, you know, I just didn't even go there. How crazy it was. Students at a New Jersey middle school experimenting with e-texts can no longer get away with the excuse, the dog ate my homework. Administrators at Memorial Junior Middle School in Hanover, New Jersey, say the school is among the first nationwide to experiment with electronic textbooks, meaning some of the school's 7th and 8th graders can do all their work, even take tests online. That's right. Textbook publisher Barrett Kendall of Austin, Texas, sold the school its online version of an English text for $49 per student, including hardcover books for students to take home and a set to keep in the classroom. I guess it includes textbooks, real textbooks?
What's E about this?
I don't know. Well, an online version of an English text, which includes hardcover books, so it's not very E. Getting a traditional set of hardcover books would have cost about the same. Okay. In one of the school's English classes, every student has access to a computer at home, so the take-home books weren't needed. Aha. That's the future we're heading towards, where the books just aren't needed anymore. This can't compete with a book, English teacher Ho Green told the Sunday Star Ledger of Newark. There's so much more it can do. Now, that statement can be taken in two ways. This can't compete with a book. There's so much more it can do. Now, this being an English teacher, you should know that it should be made clear what the id is modifying there. There's so much more which can do, the English book or the e-book?
Or the e-book.
Yeah. Now, I think an English teacher would know that a book is far preferable to, you know, something on a computer because you can keep it. You know, you can keep it forever and keep looking back on it, whereas e-text is something that expires and that you won't necessarily have access to once you leave the school. And that's a big controversy with college e-texts.
Well, for these various schemes for preventing the quote-unquote copyright violations, but...
So that's the situation there. This appeared on CNN, and the way the article is written, they don't mention at all what any of the downsides to this. They just keep saying, well, now you can no longer say that your dog ate your homework, because everybody has access.
No, instead my dog ate my Newton, or my Palm Pilot.
A computer crash is more likely than a ravenous dog. Yeah.
I like the possibility for open book tests, though. Because you have a search engine readily available, you can go flipping back through the pages really fast. I like that.
After last week's show, the Microsoft Passport terms of usage have changed. I don't know if it's because of last week's show, but it was one day after.
I think it's coincidence.
They altered it probably because all the privacy groups were outraged, along with us. If you go to passport.com, you'll see their new policy. Do you know what the change was? I guess they say they don't intercept your email and own all your words anymore.
Check it out.
Yeah. You mentioned on the show some anime DVDs on multiple region. I thought I should point out there are quite a few anime DVDs that are not only region zero, but in fact are not encrypted with CSS. So it is possible to get the DVD production companies to put an all region unencrypted disc, which I would assume is how you want your film to be released. I think why it is seen more commonly in anime discs is because there is more of an import-export market for anime, since unlike normal films, discs released in the U.S. are not necessarily going to be released in the rest of the world. I know in the U.K. we have very few anime discs, and all my friends buy the U.S. ones. I'd like to know if there's any multiple region ones besides region 1 and 4, which is what we discovered. Are there any, 1, 2, and 3, perhaps, for DVDs allowing different regions to view the same thing? Maybe you could have something with all eight. That'd be kind of cool. 212-209-2900 is our phone number.
I found your store number, by the way.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, if you were on the web, you could probably find this very quickly, but...
It was at 9 o'clock tonight, and the number is 631-366.
So they weren't even closed yet. They weren't even closed yet, and I was getting recordings saying that their main office is closed. They couldn't give me any information. It's completely... The other thing that drives me crazy is when you're on a website and you're trying to find a phone number, and they just keep telling you how to email them, but you can't get a phone number out of it.
Yeah, that's a pain. Or they give you that silly little web form thing for the feedback, and you can't actually get a real email address.
I've got some feedback for them, I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you want to buy a computer and don't yet have one, you're just stuck.
Yeah.
That's true.
I found this in the most recent phone bill. Some people were calling up about being deceived with the premium local package. I want to read this. For one low monthly price, you'll get your basic dial tone service and unlimited local directory assistance, plus your choice of four or more valuable services like caller ID, call waiting, three-way calling, and call forwarding. That's over 40% off the price of ordering them separately. And if you sign up by a certain date, you get a long distance low rate as well. Here's the thing. People somehow thought that they were getting unlimited local calling. But no, it's unlimited local directory assistance. You see? I read this and I thought it was unlimited local calling too, but when you look carefully, that's not in there. It's only local directory assistance. That's for when you call in your own county, 411 or whatever. It's not even if you go outside that area. So I think a lot of people fell for that, and they wound up with a calling plan that they didn't really want. And the other thing that... The other thing that's happening, I don't know if it's in this particular one, but they are installing three-way calling on phones throughout the area. And we've talked about this before in previous years.
Is it a standard feature, or is it like a feature?
They're putting it on your phone line.
Oh.
And basically what happens is if you use it, you pay for it. You pay every time you use three-way.
Uh-oh.
Now
I see where this is going.
Yeah, you see where this is going, because what happens is, they tell you, I wish I had the right one here. I thought I brought it, but apparently I didn't. They tell you that when you have three-way, make sure that when you hang up, you let your phone reset for 3 seconds. If you don't do that, if you hang up and pick up again, you're going to be on three-way, and you're going to be charged for making a three-way call. You see how they're getting thousands, if not millions of people around the area to... unintentionally make three-way calls.
sad.
Yeah. So let's say you call somebody, and you hang up with them, and then you immediately make another phone call. Yeah, that person will probably hang up on his own, so he won't be tied into the call, but you will be making a call off the three-way dial tone. Mm-hmm. And you'll have to pay, I think, 75 cents every time you do that.
I don't like it.
How'd they get away with these things?
I don't like it. I think that it's just an issue of stupidity. They're trying to be nice and offer this to everyone, and it's just they didn't realize they'd catch as many people. I give people the benefit of the doubt, even if they are the telephone company.
I don't think they're people, though. I really don't. All right, let's take some phone calls, 212-209-2900, and see what other horror stories are out there. Let's see, where should we go first? How'd that happen? All the lights went out at once. Did you see that?
That's weird.
Oh, I saw it on the repeat display here.
We had a full switchboard, and all the lights just went out. It's like our phone got unplugged.
It crashed.
I'm going to try to get a line, see what happens. No, I can't get a line. Look at that. The phone is dead.
We got another 20 minutes of...
Oh, there I got a line, but there's no light. All the lights are off. There's no lights. We have no idea how many phone calls we have.
Oh.
This is going to make things confusing.
Try poking at random. See if
I'm going to try... okay, here we go. Something's loose.
It's back?
They're all lighting up again.
Okay, that's good.
All right, you should listen to BAI over the next couple of days. I'm sure you hear some confused people think they don't have any phone calls. All right, let's take this one. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I have a strange software question you might be interested in.
Okay.
I run a Macintosh. Okay, don't jump all over me.
No, I think it's an excellent choice.
Okay. Thank you. I'd rather have a Sun workstation, but I can't afford that. Anyway,
You'd be surprised.
Let's get to the damn question.
Okay. I'm running a virtual Windows.
Okay.
And I'm trying to connect to a virtual private network over a cable modem.
Okay.
Now, Windows 98 installed on this thing won't do it, but I have heard that Windows 2000 will.
Through the virtual machine,
yeah,
the software, yeah.
Yeah, through the virtual private network software on the cable modem. I was just curious if there was anything interesting in there as to why Windows 98 on this kind of arrangement wouldn't make a full connection, and Windows 2000 would.
Couldn't tell you, but I imagine it has to deal with the way that the emulating software deals with outgoing network connections and the network stack in general.
Uh-huh.
I am not familiar with how the two specific products interact, so I couldn't really tell
you. This is definitely a personal computer show question.
Yeah.
You know, if you call the personal computer show, which is on
this hour,
24 hours from now, they'll be on that same hour and ask them that question. I'm sure they'll have an answer immediately. That's one of the many programs we have here at BAI that talk about all kinds of interesting things. And in fact, if you tune in tonight at 1:30, you'll hear Weaponry. I'm sure
that's a good show.
I'm sure there'll be some talk about the spy incident over in China of various sorts, and people can call in about that as well. All right, 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah. Did you ever call Directory 800 Directory Assistance? Isn't that annoying?
Not as annoying as some things I could think of. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, when you call Directory Assistance, 800 Directory Assistance, you get those annoying voice prompts.
I actually like
this. This is hell, isn't it? I'm in hell right now.
800 Directory Assistance.
All the callers sound
very
the same.
Nice.
800 Directory Assistance, what?
They're actually very nice. I ask, they ask for the automatic listing, and then the person gets on and says, I have 72 entries for that. Which one do you want? And I go, well, do you have customer service? They say, sure.
All right, Isaac.
They're nice. Nice people. Okay.
In the old days, I would already be talking to somebody.
Didn't we do this the other week?
I have to...
Toll-free directory assistance. Please say just the name of the listing.
Yes, I'm looking for the number for CompUSA, please.
Thank you. Your request is being processed.
Processed.
Now the little WAV file goes to a human being to interpret it.
Mm-hmm. When?
In the near future.
Uh-huh.
The toll-free number is...
There's a human in there somewhere.
Two, six.
All right, we're not going to give out their number anymore, but I have waited 20 minutes sometimes for a human, especially late at night. Maybe you want to try this around midnight or so when I think they have one person on duty. Used to be you called up, you immediately got a person, you could get the number in a couple of seconds. That actually was pretty good just now, but try it later on. I'm sure it won't be as good. Good evening, you're on the air.
Oh, that's great. I have a horror story.
All right.
I'm my carrier is Verizon, both local and long distance. I'm here in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And there is an inmate in New Jersey who had been trying to call me collect. And initially, I had call blocking collect calls from anywhere in the country. And then I called up Verizon, and eventually they removed the blocking. There were some problems, etc. But I still couldn't get this inmate's calls from New Jersey. Eventually, he came to tell me that everyone in that particular correctional institution they were able to call collect using AT&T. So, in essence, he was trying to tell me, you're going to have to switch to AT&T as a carrier in order to accept these collect calls.
You're kidding.
Yeah, no, I'm not kidding.
So, they told you that you couldn't accept collect calls from a carrier that you aren't subscribed to?
I can't. My blocking is off on Verizon. We've already tested out with Verizon.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all the way down to repair, had it tested out. But when he calls from New Jersey, collect, AT&T is blocking the call.
Have you tried calling collect from a different phone, a payphone or something? See what happens?
I don't think he has much of a choice.
No, you try it.
You try that. Try using AT&T. Do 101.0.288.0 plus your number and see if you can't call yourself collect. And if you can, then they're simply blocking from that prison in an attempt to extort you to subscribe to them. And if you cannot, then they're blocking all numbers to you, which is also wrong.
Okay.
But either way, that's I mean, unless they change the law yet again, that seems to me a violation of all kinds of ethical issues.
Well, right, and I felt the same way. And Verizon had even brought that. This is now in the repair area. That particular repair person said, well, you're not the only one who's complained about this.
Well, complain to the Common Carrier Bureau of the FCC. That's where their complaint will be resolved. And that's what AT&T certainly doesn't want to hear.
Yeah, I imagine.
But there's no excuse for that at all. If you don't have blocking yourself, they cannot block you. I mean, is there any kind of billing issue? That it wasn't paid, perhaps?
No.
Then there's no reason for them to do that.
And I'm sorry, what number did you say I call? I mean, I go to another...
Okay. You go to a payphone or any
right.
other phone, and you enter the carrier access code for AT&T, which is 1010288.
Okay.
And then dial 0 plus your phone number, including area code.
Oh, to see. Oh, I see.
And then see if it'll process the call and allow you to make a collect call. And if it does, then you know they're only blocking that prison, which is completely wrong.
Okay. Well, thank you for telling me that.
All right. Good luck.
All right. Thanks.
Let us know what happens. That's unfortunate. Those kinds of things seem to be happening all the more. Unbelievable. Blocking is supposed to protect people, not hurt them.
Set up more barriers.
Yeah. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, it's preferable to some calls. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. Emmanuel?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. There was a story about a Russian MiG landing on U.S. territory some time back.
When?
I'm unable to tell you when. And
mainland U.S. or somewhere in Alaska?
I have no idea. This particular thing was discussed in mainstream media as well as VII.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the period, they just picked up... the U.S. government dismantled the plane into bits and pieces and shipped it after months in crates.
You mean we touched the plane?
Yes.
Against international law? Oh, my God.
I think it was a defector, if I recall correctly.
Well, maybe these 24 spies are defectors, too. Maybe the whole issue is that they don't want to leave. Did you ever think of that, Isaac? Huh? No, you never thought of that, did you? No, it's a completely alien concept to you that 24 people would like to stay in general's quarters somewhere in China.
I had my suspicions about the pilot, because he was kind of kept away from the rest of the crew for the time he was there. But all 24 of them desiring to stay in China... Bachelor officer quarters are nice, but they're not that nice. I think they'd prefer to go back to their families.
You don't know about their families. You don't know about China either. So suggest you do some research and investigate and see just how nice they have it over there. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, just quickly. The plane that the guy was talking about, it was in 1967, and it was a Russian defector who landed the MiG-25 in Israel.
Ah, there you go. How did Israel get in the United States?
Well, it was, I believe, that the United States, the CIA, took the plane apart in Israel. But that was because we were defending Israel at the time.
We seem to be everywhere, you notice that?
Because of World War II.
Yeah, well,
we didn't really ask to do that. But also, what am I trying to say? What happened in this case is these are not really spies. These are military personnel. They're not claiming to be civilians who are just happen to be flying over in a U-2.
Well, even our own government calls them spies.
It's a spy plane, but these are our military personnel.
You're saying that these people were flying a spy plane, but they weren't spying?
Well, we call it a spy plane because that's the popular term for it, but these are...
How do they differ from spies?
Yeah, what makes you a spy?
For example, Gary Powers, remember, who was shot down over Russia in 1961, I think? The claim was that he was a civilian who was flying a U-2. U-2 flights were supposedly flown by civilians. When you catch a spy, it's someone who's claiming to be something he is not. But the whole difference is when you deal with military personnel, they're required by international law to identify themselves as military personnel.
Yes, Geneva Convention.
This was not a spy plane because it was not overflying territory to take pictures in any illicit manner. It wasn't overflying a carrier. It wasn't overflying a military base.
They weren't taking pictures? I mean, there are 24 people there. You think somebody wasn't snapping a few photos?
I'm sure they were, but they were primarily doing electronic surveillance off the coast.
It was signals intelligence. It wasn't imagery.
And the reason that doesn't happen to us, primarily, is because in order to do that, you need only buy a building here. Like the Russian residence over in Riverdale, if you go look at it, you'll see that there's a phalanx of antennas on it.
The Chinese like doing that, too. They set up offices for their journalists and...
Yeah, and they have antennas.
So you're saying if we could buy buildings in China, all this could be avoided?
Probably.
Well, we tend to use military intelligence to do that, and so the Navy or the Air Force will fly planes to do that. You would have to then be using some other more covert means to be, set yourself up as a business or diplomat or spy. So it's a different situation, but I'm sure we do that there, too. And also... the intelligence services in our country like to have their independence. So the Navy likes to spy for itself, and the Air Force does it for itself, and we probably have the CIA there doing their thing, and FBI doing their thing. But primarily, most other countries don't spend that much to, maintain the whole service of planes doing it. But in the United States, you don't have to. You can locate yourself near a military base and monitor communications.
Well, this also neglects the fact that the most popular means of intelligence gathering for the Russians to the United States is human. They just throw people at us and wind up placing them in interesting points where they can see information as it crosses desks.
Well, somehow I think we're using all kinds of means in other countries. We don't just rely on one thing. And I'm having a lot of trouble drawing the distinction between a surveillance plane filled with people and people spying on what is flying over. It just seems to me like a nebulous distinction at best. Taking the phone call. Good evening. Sorry. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes. The gentleman with the virtual private networking problem.
Mm-hmm.
I believe the solution just lies in the version of dial-up networking.
Okay.
And that the adapters and drivers... I think you can actually get an update from Microsoft for Windows 98, but I believe it's not very complicated.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Not really.
Okay, thanks for that information. And let's go all the way over here. Good evening, you're on the air. Speak
Hello?
Up. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, I'm in Snetland.
You're in where?
Snetland.
Snetville. Connecticut.
Oh, I thought it was like some country in Asia or something.
Yeah, they keep landing these planes here. Anyway, they had usage-sensitive three-way calling here. And what I did was I called customer service, and they have blocking for that. They also have blocking for, this is on my last bill, directory assistance call completion blocking, call tracing block, missed call dialing block, prompted call again announcement block, call again pay-per-use block, 900 service blocking, and it's all free to get blocked.
Well, I didn't know that these kinds of blocking even existed. How do you find out about them?
You call up and you complain about one thing, and they say, "Oh, we've got all this other stuff that you might want to block."
Do they have like a blocking for phone company ripoffs that might come down the line in the future?
actually, I've got wire and jacks maintained by customer for $0 on my bill, so I'm saving money there.
That's really good. That's is there just a generic term for all that blocking?
Blocking.
Well, then again, you're in SNET territory, so...
they're owned by SBC now, so...
That's right. They merged with Southern Bell, didn't they? Wow. But I'm not sure how Verizon deals with that. That might be a good thing for people to call about tomorrow to get that blocked. Thing is, you know, I like three-way calling on some lines. I don't want to block it on all my lines, but you know, to have it mandatorily put on, it's not a good thing at all. Anyway, thanks for the information. It's very very helpful. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, I think you can tell
them. You see, when you call four times in one night, you've overstayed your welcome. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Hi.
Yes, what's up?
Last week there was a gentleman that asked about...
You must be on a Sprint phone.
There's actually a device that will simulate a sound card, and then any program that you can use to generate sound can be captured to basically an audio file.
I'll translate. A couple weeks ago we were talking about capturing like real audio and storing it to a file on a disk. This mm-hmm. gentleman is talking about a pseudo device driver, which will simply take the PCM encoded audio and throw it into a file as a WAV file or something like that. These
exactly.
things exist and they work very nicely.
As an option to the program that you mentioned, is no longer available to just capture the real audio streams directly.
Correct.
Now, how can people get this?
I would have to go into a search engine.
Okay.
Poke around. It's a pseudo device. It's like not an actual card that you slip in your machine, but
okay. Well, I'm sure people will find a way to do the things that they're told they're not supposed to be doing.
And watch out for them Russian trawlers, too. That's their other big collection platform.
Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Yes, go ahead.
We don't have to take pictures of China because we have spy satellites that read cigarette packages 144 miles up.
Yeah, they do that, too, don't they? Now, are they doing that to us?
KH-12, man. Woohoo!
Are they doing that to us? Does China have satellites up there spying on us?
Yes.
They do, okay.
Sure they do.
All right, so
and if they don't, they can
resolution.
Buy it. Yeah, well, if they don't, they can buy it commercially.
Mm-hmm.
Landsat.
Okay.
The stuff is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Then that should be enough, you know? Why would they have to fly planes over foreign countries for?
Because we're interested in where they're, what they're doing, where they're going, and what their intentions are.
Well, now we're a lot more interested, now that they have one of our planes. I guess we're...
Well, that plane was composed in electronic order of battle. Basically, they're trying to figure out where the radar sites are, where the SAM sites are, where all of the communications bunkers are, command control, all the rest of the stuff.
Did they ever think to just ask... No, you wouldn't think that, would you? Good evening. You're on the air.
Is it anonymous?
Oh, please.
Hi.
I'm going to impose another ban if this keeps up. Good evening. You're on the air.
Sometimes when you call...
One more time. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Yes.
First question is, how does he do that?
I don't know how he does that.
What's his name? Clone of that guy who's on during the day who purports to be a psychiatrist. I mean, that's what he sounds like. What's his name? Emil something.
Let's not get into
anyway,
names.
No, but how does he do it?
I don't know. Did you have another question, though?
Yes. Oh, yeah, actually, I got a couple of questions. First of all, I've been successfully avoiding cell phones, but now I have no choice, and I've been shopping around. And after getting totally, completely confused by fine print, I went to somebody who works for, you know, he works for a variety of places.
We have to resolve this in 30 seconds, you know.
Yeah, well, here's the basically what the man told me was is that all of these various places who sell cell phone service are ripping you off, and if you deal directly with the carriers, you can get some things that you can't get by going to. Is this true?
Yes, if you can buy a phone from Verizon, get it from Verizon. Don't go to one of those little, like, third-party stores in God knows where.
Yeah, although I'm trying to get a phone from Sprint, but it's too much of a hassle to even get into. We'll be back again next week with all kinds of other analogies and problems and fun things like that. So until then, have a good night. You can write to us, OTH at 2600.com. See you next week. Good night.
This is Marjorie Moore. I hope you will join me mornings at 6 a.m. for Sunrise. At Sunrise, together, we're going to be asking a lot of new questions. We'll explore cutting-edge ideas with guests who are not afraid to challenge systems. There will be music and poetry and conversation and sharing and things to consider. Sunrise is about waking up, literally, and starting your day with new inspiration, insight, and hope. So tune in mornings at 6 a.m. and begin your day with me, Marjorie Moore, in the light of sunrise, here on WBAI 99.5 FM in New York City.